This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, we'll review a new album from four Cincinnati kids called The National. But first, Afghan President Hamid Karzai is on Capitol Hill today. Yesterday, he met with President Bush. Among other issues, the two discussed drug trafficking. Afghanistan produces 90% of the world's opium supply, most of it ending up as heroin on the streets of Europe and Russia. Karzai has declared a holy war against drugs, but the U.S. State Department has criticized his ability to stop poppy cultivation. In a joint press conference with President Bush, Karzai said success will depend on more than just tough talk.
Equally important is the provision of alternative livelihoods to the Afghan people. The president mentioned pomegranates, honeydew melons, lots of other things in Afghanistan that people destroyed in order to replace with poppies have to be now brought back.
The Christian Science Monitor has gone deep into Afghanistan to report on the drug trade, and reporter Scott Baldoff joins me now. And Scott, you write that the drug money now permeates every stratum of Afghanistan's society. Can you give me an example of what you found?
Well, I can tell you that most of the people that we interviewed, including government officials, were able to see the influence of drug money on major decisions that the government was making. Sometimes deputy ministers beneath the ministers were making decisions for the entire ministry with a bribe coming from a drug dealer. In the case of the Ministry of Interior, which deals with all law enforcement issues and also anti-terrorism issues, a bribe can get almost anybody out of jail, no matter what the crime that they're accused with, and no matter what evidence. In many cases, that bribe can also release drugs that have been captured and sped along their way to their destination. You see a lot of drug money being spent in the city of Kabul itself. What you would expect in a war-torn city is reconstruction. But this is reconstruction on a lavish scale, and it's being constructed by people whose salaries are often $100 a month officially. So the people are able to see evidence of drug money in their economy, but they're not able to point to any evidence. And that was the problem that we, the monitor, faced in our investigation, and that, frankly, we're not alone. The U.S. government, the Afghan government, the British, who are leading the anti-drug effort, they're all having the same problem of gathering evidence that directly connects people who are involved in this drug trade.
And the police themselves are paid very little, and they're the ones charged with going out into the countryside and arresting drug producers, drug dealers. But you write that they themselves often encourage farmers to grow drugs.
Well, not only encourage, in some cases there's a certain amount of force involved. A lot of farmers in far-flung areas would actually prefer to grow a subsistence crop. At least they can eat wheat. But if they are, if a drug dealer comes into your area, if a warlord comes into your area and suggests, not too subtly, that you get into the drug trade, and oh, by the way, here is say $5,000 advance payment for next year's crop, you will feel obliged to this individual if you do take that money. And many people don't feel they have that choice. We did meet with a commander, a police commander from a village in the northern part of Afghanistan. This policeman was probably involved in more anti-drug stings than any other cop in Afghanistan, if not at least in his province. He captured three major drug dealers. He brought back a lot of opium. But the more we dug into this fellow and his past, we found out that his own bosses thought that he also was involved in the drug trade and was just eliminating competitors. This tells us, at least, how much the drug economy has taken over. And if you believe the official government figures, we're talking about 60% of the overall output of that country. That's astounding.
60%, and it's affecting, as you say, every level of society in Afghanistan. And top ministers in Karzai's own government, you write, are involved in the drug trade.
And the problem is that the Afghan government cannot compete. When it comes down to money, they can't compete. The U.S. government can't compete. The military cannot compete. There will always be a little bit more money to be bad than to be good. 25 years of war have rendered this country a place where really only opium makes sense. And so it's going to take some time before other alternative and legitimate crops start to make sense.
Scott Baldoff is a reporter with the Christian Science Monitor. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.